Today, I want to continue with our teaching of aggressive kingdom advancement. This is the word that God has given us for 2022. It is a word that's resonating in the body of Christ. Many are speaking of it in the way that God's given it to them. This is the way God has given it to this house, aka aggressive kingdom advancement. And so, Father, I thank you right now once again that as we move into this time of your word, I thank you. You said your word is quick, it's powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you that you said your word would go forth and not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent it. So I thank you for your word coming forth now. Cause your word to come alive. Holy Spirit, think through this mind. Speak through me. I thank you for faithfulness, your faithfulness now. And I thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Aggressive kingdom advancement. Come on, shout that out. Right where you're at, just say it to yourself. Aggressive kingdom advancement. Aggressive kingdom advancement. Foundational scripture for us is Matthew 11, verse 12, where it says this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This is Jesus speaking to those that are following him, and he's helping them to understand that the struggle that they are in, the opposition they are facing, has to do with the introduction of his kingdom. It was John the Baptist, John the cousin of Jesus, who was the forerunner of Jesus. And when John came, his message was simple: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That word repent means to change. Say change. It means to change. The repent means to change. It just simply means to change your mind. John's message was you need to change the way you're thinking or you're going to miss the Messiah when he comes. As a result of his message, and when Jesus showed up with the kingdom, with his kingdom, there was a great upheaval, not only in the natural, but even more so in the realm of the spirit. Very often you and I are not recognizing and keeping our focus on. The scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I want to get to that a little later. But also it's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 that says this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus spoke this, he wasn't just speaking it to the disciples. He was speaking it to all of his followers who were disciples. You see, it was 12 that he chose. Others gathered around. And by the time Jesus left, he had quite a following. So he's speaking to all of them when he says, go and make disciples of all nations. That's the responsibility that you and I have been given, to go and share the gospel, the good news. One of the things that we don't normally recognize, but we're beginning to understand a little better now as we are seeing some of the new series and programs that are being developed to help us visualize and see the scriptures, is that when Jesus showed up, before Jesus showed up, there was great opposition to any leader who came to the forefront who wasn't a part of the system, if you will, wasn't a part of the government, wasn't a Pharisee or a Sadducee, wasn't a part of any of those groups, and certainly not Rome. Any leader that rose up was quick to be either dismissed or they looked at ways to do away with that leader altogether. Ultimately, and for many of them, it meant death. This is the dynamic, this is the culture that the church is being birthed in. And I want you to recognize that we live in a culture that really is the same. So when Jesus says to them to go into the world, go into all the world, making disciples of all nations, he's recognizing and he's already helped them to understand, you're not going to do this if you're not going to be aggressive in doing it. So he says to them in one of his other conversations, one of his other teachings, he says, you must know that you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have opposition. There's going to be contention. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. When we talk about aggressive kingdom advancement, this is the phrase that Holy Spirit gave me. Aggressive kingdom advancement, an unwavering, uncompromising attitude and mindset that is exhibited by one's unrelenting pursuit of a goal or objective with fierce determination and resolve that even in the face of great opposition, there is only one outcome, victory. Let me read it again. Aggressive kingdom advancement, an unwavering, uncompromising attitude and mindset that is exhibited by one's unrelenting pursuit of a goal or objective with fierce determination and resolve that even in the face of great opposition, there is only one outcome, victory. I want to tell you, it is this attitude, it is this mindset that every person who has reached any level of success has walked in this. See, this isn't just a biblical statement. This is a life statement. This is a life statement. This isn't just about accomplishing certain things. This is a life statement for all your life, for all of my life, particularly as believers. But one of the things that we can look out and see is that many who are unbelievers who operate within the principles of the kingdom see the same results of the kingdom because they're in the earth. And so when I say and make this statement, an unwavering, uncompromising attitude and a mindset that's exhibited by one's unrelenting pursuit, there are people every day who get up, push themselves to keep going. They have that unrelenting pursuit of a goal or an objective, and there's a fierce determination and resolve that no matter what I face, I will only settle for one outcome, and that is victory. When you think about those that are athletes, the pro teams, there's not one that gets on a court. There's not one that steps on a field. There's not a guy that steps in a ring. There's not a guy or girl that steps on a tennis court or any other sport that's not thinking this when they do it. They're doing it with the thought there's only one outcome, and that's victory. And even if they don't have victory in that moment, they don't stop. That is the attitude and mindset that you and I must have as believers, particularly in this hour. Aggressive kingdom advancement is not anything new. In Exodus 23, 20 through 33, I shared this on last week, God reveals his plan and instructions to conquer the land. God says to them, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to drive out the enemy. He says, my terror will go before you. They will fear you just because they've heard about me. That's what God is saying. In military terms, it's called power projection. Power projection. And oftentimes, when militaries are going in to a certain area, they will send ships in to just kind of set out in the water to show force, to show power, power projection, force projection. And God is saying, you're going to have to be aggressive in order to take out the enemy and possess that which I have for you. It's the same for you and I. There may be certain areas, even in our lives, that God says, we got to be aggressive about dealing with that. We got to be aggressive about taking out that attitude, that mindset, that habit, in order to advance my kingdom in you and around you. Because the kingdom of God is not just external, it's on the inside of us. The kingdom of God is on the inside of us. Paul writes and says, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And so there is this external work and internal work that's happening at the same time that's called aggressive kingdom advancement. From Exodus, we go to Numbers, and in Numbers 33, 50 through 56, Moses reminds the people of God's instructions. He says, in order to take the land, you're going to have to be aggressive in doing it. If you're going to see victory in your life in many areas, you're going to have to be aggressive in seeing that victory. And so Moses tells them, when you get in the land, don't play around. You need to take out every enemy. You need to go into the high places, and you need to pull down those idols. You need to pull down those strongholds. You need to pull down everything that the enemy has ever tried to lift up above our God. You need to bring it down. You need to destroy it. And then he says this, but the things you let remain, says, will be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your flesh, and vex you where in the land you dwell. Meaning though even though you're in the land, you're never going to be at peace. And sometimes that's where we can find ourselves. So when we talk about aggressive kingdom advancement, there are the times of us needing to pull back and say, God, help me to show me any area where your kingdom is not in operation, where you do not have complete reign. As believers, we often say, God, I give you my heart. And that's a good thing to say. But one of the phrases or definitions I came across concerning the heart that comes from the word cardia speaks of the heart being our thoughts, desires, passions, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. That's seven areas. That's seven areas of the heart. There were six enemies that God was calling them to drive out, that God would drive out from before them. And often, it's good for us to sit back, get still, pray, press in, say, God, help me with my thoughts, my desires, my passions, my appetites, my affections, my purposes, and my endeavors. Jesus, I want you to be Lord in every area. I need your kingdom to reign in every area. That's how we arrive at victory. That's how we arrive at victory. And what God was making clear to Moses is, this is what I'm going to do for you. And then Moses tells the people and reminds them. And then in Joshua 10, Joshua executes the plan given by God. And one of the things you'll see when you read through that in Joshua 10, verse 1 through 43, what you'll see there is he executes that plan, and over the statement, he left no survivor. He left no survivor. One of the challenges that you and I face in the times in which we live is we live in a culture that wants to define to us how we are to live our lives as disciples or as Christians. And there are those who will frame it in, well, is that really Christian of you? Or they'll say, is that really Christ-like? And what it is doing in a very subtle way, it is causing the church to back up. It's causing the church to small itself up so that we never stand in the place of authority and rule that God has intended. Now, I'm talking about aggressive kingdom advancement here. And I'm saying we have to get okay with that word aggressive, because God never intended for his church to not be aggressive. He never intended for you and I to make apologies for what we believe. And so now we're in this, what they call the cancel culture. And so for many in the body of Christ, those that are endeavoring to really share the gospel in its truest and purest form have to navigate through, particularly some of the platforms that we're on, that we don't say something that causes our message to be canceled. I want to tell you that there are things behind the scenes that God is bringing to the forefront to make sure that his message is heard. And so we have to be, as Jesus said, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We got to be shrewd in our dealings, because make no mistake about it, the enemy sure is. And so in the early church, what we see is once Jesus has given them their assignments and he ascended to heaven, the church is birthed and the church begins to move out and to move forward. And you'll remember that one of the individuals, a Pharisee, who stood against the church was Saul. Saul stood against the church until he had his Damascus Road experience, where he met Jesus, and it forever changed his life, and it had ripple effects. Yeah, it had ripple effects through all of Rome and the religious leaders. In this season of aggressive kingdom advancement, now, body of Christ, I need you to hear me now. I need you to hear me. We cannot become judgmental when God sovereignly saves someone that you and I have been watching live an ungodly life out in the open. Now, I say out in the open because, see, some even believers are not living a completely godly life. But here's what I'm saying. In this season of aggressive kingdom advancement, I'm prophesying now, there are those who truly will be born again. They will have a Damascus Road experience, and God's going to begin to move in them and through them, which really has to do with the seven spheres of cultural influence, which we'll get to in a moment. And when you and I see that, we need to pray. We need to pray for covering, because the moment that happens, just like with Paul, they wanted to kill him. He had too much influence. He knew too much. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, born of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, according to the law, blameless. He was saying, I was doing it all right. And he was persecuting the church, going into homes while they were having their meetings and dragging them out in their houses, shutting them down. That same spirit is in operation right now, trying to shut down the church. You got to look past the pandemic. You got to look back past the viruses and see what's happening in the spirit. The enemy wants to shut down the body of Christ. But I declare to you right now, he can't do it. He won't do it. Because God is speaking forth his word with clarity to his church. It's time for aggressive kingdom advancement. And Paul has a true conversion. Rome doesn't know what to do with him. The church doesn't know what to do with him. The religious people don't know what to do with him. And who shows up? The apostle Barnabas. And says, come on, Paul, come with me. And the scripture says that they went away so that Paul could receive what he needed to walk out his journey. But Paul was a marked man all of his life. And I want us to recognize that it's in this season that God is going to begin to touch the hearts of many who you and I look at and don't see them as being a believer, but God's going to save them. God's going to deliver them. And he's going to do it in order to aggressively advance his kingdom. So let's get all right with it right now. Yeah. Paul, in his writing, is now being used of God concerning the Gentiles. You see, it was Peter in Acts the 10th chapter who aggressively advanced the kingdom by going to Cornelius' house, which he wasn't supposed to be going there. But God said, no, you need to go. But Peter would not be the one to disciple the Gentiles. That would be Paul. So Peter goes, gives the message. Cornelius, all of his house is saved. Salvation comes to the Gentiles. And then Paul shows up. And Paul is the one that God is using to navigate and walk through Rome, the Jewish people, the Gentile people. He's dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He's dealing with the Jewish people. He's dealing with the Gentiles. And God has graced him to be able to operate in this place. And Paul is finding himself in Asia, the surrounding nations. And in his heart is a burden for Rome. And so in the book of Romans, we read how Paul writes to them, sharing that he wants to be with them, to build them up. And it's in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 that he makes this statement. I'm talking about aggressive kingdom advancement. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why would he say that? He's saying that because many are starting to wane in their faith. They're starting to pull back now. And he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." What Paul is saying concerning himself and to the church, he says, "I am aggressive in my pursuit of the kingdom. I make no apologies for what I believe because I know it to be the power of God of salvation to everyone who believes." You see, those of us who are born again, who have experienced the power of God, we have something to offer. You have something to offer. And I want to just continue to help you recognize that God never intended that it would just be a few folks that would speak forth this message. It's not about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those titles mean very little except that that person is called by God to operate in that capacity. You don't need a degree. You don't need a title. All you need to do is be able to love God, serve God, and be open to the purposes of God for your life. And he will work through you for the advancement of his kingdom. But the thing that you and I must do, the thing that you and I must do in this season is settle that we are dealing with an enemy. And we are dealing with forces who are doing all they can to see that you and I never step into that place of aggressive kingdom advancement. Paul in his writing recognizes that he's having to navigate through what the government is trying to do now because they're realizing, unlike some of the other men, leaders who showed up, had followings, died, and the followings dispelled and were gone. That didn't happen with Jesus and the disciples. Because what they didn't recognize was that he was bringing his eternal kingdom into the earth. And as a result of every born-again believer, that kingdom he brought now resides on the inside of us. Hey! And when we can tap into that place, it eradicates and removes everything and anything that would hinder us from walking in the power of God, seeing the provision of God in every way, in every area. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," meaning I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to be timid in my speech. And he's saying to the church there and the believers, you're going to need to step up. Aggressive kingdom advancement. There is a stirring that's happening right now in the body of Christ. There's a stirring that's happening not only in this nation, but other nations as well in the body of Christ. Those that are recognizing it's time to stand up and truly be the church, the body of Christ, full of faith and full of power, and recognizing that we will deal with opposition. We will deal with conflict. But we are the ones who have the answer. We are the ones who have the answer. I'm going to say it again. The church, the body of Christ, we are the ones who have the answer. Yeah, come on. If you're at home watching or wherever you're at, just kind of clap your hands, because as a born-again believer, I'm telling you that answer is in you. That answer is in me. It's in the early church that we see as the church is going forward. We read in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John heal the man at the gate, and how that they're called on the carpet, if you will. They're brought before the council. They're brought in and put in the center, talking about kingdom on display now. And when they show up and share what they share, because the religious leaders are confused, they're looking at them and saying they are unlearned, meaning they don't have our degrees. They seem to be uneducated. And yet they speak with such authority and such confidence. And then they recognize, oh, there are a couple that were with that guy Jesus that we killed. Or so they thought. And they're recognizing, even as the world is going to begin to recognize through the church, through body of believers, is that there is a source that goes beyond degree. There is an authority that goes beyond title. And as they operate in this place, they're told not to speak in that name. They're put in prison. Supernaturally, they get out. Supernaturally, they get out. Supernaturally, a way of escape is made. They don't run away. They go right back out into the center of town and keep sharing the gospel. So when the guards go to get them and they say they're not here, but the prison doors are locked, well, where are they? Well, those guys that you put in prison that you said you deal with today, they're out there in the square again preaching. And they go get them. And when they go get them, they come back again. They say, didn't we tell you not to say this? Now, hear me. This is where you and I, the church, the body of Christ, are going to need to move into aggressive kingdom advancement. Because that same attitude, that same spirit is in operation right now. You can't say that. It's wrong for you to say that. You're not being tolerant. You're not being loving. You shouldn't say that. Laws are being set in place to try to silence truth coming forth. And so when they bring them and they said, we told you not to speak in this name anymore. And they made it clear and said, we will obey God rather than man. The scripture says that they beat them and then let them go. As they were leaving, as the scripture says, that they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the gospel. But here's the point I want to get to, and that's the church's response to the threats, because this is one of the keys for us in this season, and it's found in Acts chapter 4, 29 through 31, the church's response to the threats. Says this, they gathered together, they went back to the disciples and the other apostles, and they shared what had happened. And this is what they did in response. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. Hear me. They didn't say, God, get us out of here. Lord, make a way of escape. No. They said, grant us your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're saying, can we take it up a notch? Can we take it up a little higher? Help us to speak your word with confidence, with boldness. He says, while you extend your hand and you back us up. I'm telling you right now, there is this moment we're in where God says, if you will aggressively advance my kingdom, if you will take on that mindset of aggressive kingdom advancement, he says, I will back you up. I will back you up. I will back you up with healings. I will back you up with signs and wonders. And those who look on you and want to look on you and try to put you down and try to hold you down by my power and by my might, you will stand. You will come forth. You will be the light. You will be the salt. You will bring life into everywhere that I send you. They said, we're not backing down. We're not backing up. Help us to speak your word with confidence. Extend your hand to heal with signs and wonders. It's the principle when God said to Moses, you stretch forth your hand and I'll part the water. It's the principle of God saying, you do this and I'll do this. You do this and I'll do this. God has never changed his mind. It's time for us to stand up in that same confidence. And it says this, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They began to speak the word of God with boldness. The church today, as we know it, we are dealing with generations of cultures trying to minimize and trying to silence the true church, the body of Christ. But just as Paul wrote and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This passage that we just read here in Acts, they're saying, we're not ashamed. We're not going to back up. We're not going to back down. As a matter of fact, God, let's step it up some. We want to see more folks healed. We want to see more folks delivered. We want to see more folks come into the kingdom. Because you see, we also must be confident and bold in our conversations and interactions. We cannot be silenced. And we have to be bold in what we're saying concerning salvation, repentance, prayer, prophecy, miracles, healing, deliverance, prosperity, wealth, restoration, reconciliation, restitution. All of these things are part of the message of the gospel. All of these things are part of the covenant. And over the years, there have been, if you will, doctrines and theologies that have weaved their way into the church that would cause many to try to stay away from some of these areas. And yet God is saying, I'm causing all of this to come back. I'm calling all of this back so that those who are in need can receive. We must be confident. We can no longer skirt around salvation, repentance. That mindset that's been set out there to try to make it appear that believers are insensitive and unloving when you say that someone needs to be saved. Because if you're not saved, your destination is eternal damnation. And the enemy would twist that into saying, having folks say, well, if God is so loving, then why would he send someone into a place of eternal damnation? And the answer to that, for those of you that are listening, is he doesn't send you there. If you are not born again through the redemptive work of Christ, if you have not opened your heart to receive the provision made by God through Christ Jesus, if you haven't opened your heart to receive him as your Lord and Savior, God isn't sending you there. You're already headed there. It's through Jesus that he made a way of escape for all of us. And I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God. I am grateful to God. You see, that's the answer to it. We can't be ashamed to talk about repentance. That simply means to change. When we talk about aggressive kingdom advancement, recognize moments and opportunities to pray for someone. And when they say, pray for me, pray for them right then. Don't wait. You could be in a grocery store. You can be in a restaurant. You can be anywhere. Pray for them. You never know. That might be the last time they'll get prayed for before they go into eternity. Just don't know. Someone may see you praying for them, and when you're walking out to your car, they're following you out to your car and saying, hey, you know, I didn't want to say anything in there, like a Nicodemus kind of thing. I didn't want to say anything in there, but can I talk to you a moment? I saw you pray for that person. Would you be willing to pray for me? It's in those kinds of moments. You never know. You never know. I was sitting in First Watch the other day, drinking some coffee, and one of the servers came up to me. She said, hey, John, how you doing? I'm glad you came in today. And then she went on about her business. But she came back. She said, you know what? I just wanted to share with you that I started tithing again. She said, and you know what? She said, I shared this testimony at my church. She said, and I started tithing again, and somebody came in, and they asked for me to be their server. And when they left me a $500 tip. Now, in her mind, she connected that tithe to that blessing. Praise God for that. She's sharing it with me because she knows I'm a believer. Matter of fact, she said, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yeah. I mean, I'm Christian first, you know. But anyway, my point with that is you never know. We've got to be confident and bold in our conversations and in our interactions. When it comes to prophecy, miracles, healing, deliverance, prosperity, wealth, restoration, reconciliation, restitution, all of these things could be operating in your life and in mine in some way, to some degree. We must trust and believe that God is sovereignly working his will in the midst of the current disruption caused by the recent pandemic and the continued impact of the virus. Every sphere of cultural influence, every nation has been adversely impacted and now needing to reconsider how to function in the future. You see, we're not going back. Inroads that the enemy has had in the seven spheres have been interrupted and now give opportunity for discerning believers. Say discerning believers. Come on, say discerning believers. I'm talking about those who get a sense of what's going on. The Bible speaks of the sons of Issachar who could discern the times and had the knowledge to know what to do with the times. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit. It's in the book of John where Jesus says, he who is the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth, meaning he will show you exactly what's going on. Inroads that the enemy has had in the seven spheres of cultural influence, which we'll get to in a moment, have been interrupted and now give opportunity for discerning believers who represent the kingdom of God to step in, step up, and exercise our godly authority, wisdom, influence to bring about kingdom transformation God intended to be manifested in all the earth. And so once again, I want you to recognize that in the seven spheres of cultural influence, which in this particular teaching and what many have been saying for some years now, is family, government, education, religion, business/economics, media, arts and entertainment, as the church, we must discern the times. We must discern the times, look beyond the current conditions, see the opportunities, pray for wisdom, and seize the moment to offer real Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, transforming solutions in every sphere. That's the place that God is wanting his church to move into. This is where he's intended for you and I to function. This is where he is intended for you and I to be. Pastor Deborah, go to the other slide, please. Family, government, education, religion, business. Thank you. This is where he's intended to now cause his church to come to the forefront. And so as we discern that God is sovereignly moving, church, we don't get caught up in, like those who are not a part of the kingdom, what's going on, what are we going to do, how are we going to get through this, are we really going to make it, are we really going to be all right? Hey, if you're in the body of Christ, if you're born again as a kingdom believer, you're all right right now. Doesn't mean that you and I won't be impacted some way, but here's where God wants the church to land right now. And that is for you and I to press in to him, so that we can get our instructions as to how we are supposed to be moving individually and corporately as it relates to these cultural spheres. Family, government, education, religion, business/economics, media, arts, and entertainment. God has never stopped moving in these areas. He has never stopped moving in any one of these areas. I'm saying now it's time for aggressive kingdom advancement. It's time for the church to begin to pray and press into these areas. Recognize that as we pray concerning family, that for many of us, that will require us to step up in our families. It will require us to become more vocal about our faith. Sometimes you can have family members that say, I don't want to hear it. I don't believe it. Through love, in the power of love, recognizing that that person is not necessarily the enemy, but recognize that we want to continue to speak forth the word. We want to continue to be available for God to flow through us, to minister, to be a blessing. In the areas of government, recognizing that there's already believers in every one of these, but it's time for them to begin to come to the forefront. God is positioning, and I believe now he's stirring. I believe that there's some in these areas that he is sovereignly moving, will save them because they're in the position where he intended for them to be. As the church, we must discern the times, look beyond the current conditions, see the opportunities, pray for wisdom, and seize the moment to offer real Holy Spirit transforming solutions in every sphere. So as I end out, let me end with this scripture. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. In what I'm talking about, if we are not mindful, focused, we can look at people. And the enemy works through people, and some people just have their own issues, and it ain't the enemy, it's just them. But even in the midst of that, I want to bring back in alignment and focus what you and I are dealing with here. And it's in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Paul is writing here. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Say, my struggle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It goes on and says this, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul is bringing back into perspective, I want you to be reminded of what you're really dealing with here. I believe God wants you and I to be reminded with what we're really dealing with here. Because when we talk about aggressive kingdom advancement, we have to recognize that we are dealing with spiritual forces. We have to recognize that we're dealing with the schemes of the devil. We are dealing with rulers against the powers of darkness, spiritual wicked forces that are in the heavenlies. And then Paul says, and this is how you're going to have to gird yourself up in order to maintain your victory. He says, therefore, because of what I just told you, take up the full armor of God. Say, the full armor of God. I need you to say it just a little louder. The full armor of God. He says, take on the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. It says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, it says, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows or fiery darts of the enemy, of the evil one. Say all.
All.
All. What I love about this particular translation when it says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, is that it's through our faith, it's through that shield of faith that you and I are able to protect ourselves from all the fiery darts, all the things that the enemy would try to launch towards us in order to stop us. Able to extinguish all the flaming arrows, fiery darts of the enemy, and take the helmet of salvation, and he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As I end that, I want you to notice that one of the things that's evident in this particular battle array is there's nothing that covers your backside. Why? He is our rear reward. He's got our back. That's good. But we're supposed to be going forward. Everything about this armor is advancement. Everything about this armor is advancement. Having your loins girt about with truth had to do with the peace that went around you that held things in place. Truth will always be the prevailing sustained force. Truth will always be what holds things in place solid. The breastplate of righteousness that's covering the sensitive organs of the heart and the lungs. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. It's in that righteousness that our heart is protected. It's out of that righteousness that you and I are able to stand. And then it says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Back then, they wore the kind of sandals that would allow them to be able to work with the terrain and cause them to be as sure-footed as possible. That's what the gospel of peace does. It keeps you sure-footed. It keeps you level. In addition, there again, the shield of faith the shield of faith. That shield of faith was not a little shield on your hand like this. It was a shield like this. It was a shield that you held that covered where many of them, the shield, you really couldn't see the person behind it because the shield of faith pretty much covered them as they advanced. And then it goes on and it says there, the helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation has to do with recognizing our salvation and a renewed mind. A renewed mind. A continually renewed mind, the helmet of salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing of bone, marrow, soul and spirit. It is through the word of God being declared. It's the word of God being spoken. It's the word of God being prayed. It's the word of God declared that causes his word to be fulfilled. Aggressive kingdom advancement. That's where we are, and this is what God is calling us to.